836, you're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. Well, there is a major pressure campaign going on right now on Senator Joni Ernst. She has expressed some concerns about some of Trump's nominees to fill his cabinet. And so there has been enormous pressure put on her. Citizens are calling her office repeatedly and saying, wait a minute, he won. He won big. And the country wants a change. Clearly, the country decided to change away from the path we're on. The country wants a secure border, both in the North and the South. The country wants the deportation of people who have committed crimes on our soil or committed heinous crimes in their home country. Why in the world we would have ever let them in, often knowing they had done these things. The country does not want people who are on the terror watch list in this country. And yet, we encountered at least 400 that we know of, processed them, and allowed them into general population. So the country made a clear decision about that issue because Donald Trump made it front and center of his campaign, and the country elected him overwhelmingly. He won all the battleground states. And this is something nobody's really talking about, but this is a really stunning statistic of the election. Kamala Harris is the first candidate since Herbert Hoover in 1932 not to flip a single county in the country. There was not a single county in the country that was red that she flipped to blue. Not one. Hoover, as you may recall, lost in a landslide victory by FDR in 1932 because the country was in terrible shape over the Depression, something he didn't actually cause. And although modern culture has been very unkind to him, Hoover did what he could do to get us out of the Depression. But the country's government at that time was not the big dog in the fight as the founders had intended. They wanted a small central government with limited scope powers. And so the country's government at the time really wasn't capable of doing the kind of things that we've ended up doing, which was just terrible. And as you know, if you know history, you know the truth of the matter is FDR did not get us out of the Great Depression. World War II did. America ramped up production for the wartime effort, and that is what got us out of the Great Depression and got Americans back to work. That's the fact. The other things that were done, which has created the modern social welfare state, and also government involvement in a whole lot of public works projects that maybe they shouldn't have been involved in the first place, were just placeholders. We didn't know it at the time because we didn't know World War II was on the horizon, but that's essentially what they were. Hoover did a lot of things. People don't give him credit for what he tried to do, but again, federal government didn't have the kind of resources that it marshals today. And FDR is the person that changed how our federal government operates and what the scope of the government is. I'm not sure if you read a lot of what FDR had to say prior to being president, I'm not sure that he would be so enamored with what the genesis that he created has become, but that's all speculation, of course. Maybe he changed his mind over time. Who knows? But I think the people of this country were ready for change, and it was quite clear. But Harris was the first presidential candidate since Hoover in 32, which, so what is that, 92 years? Not to flip a single county from red to blue, or from blue to red if it had been the other way. It was a big victory, and the people of the country have spoken loudly, and people of the country want change. As I mentioned, they want the border secure. That's number one. And number two, they want the economy to be prosperous. They want to feel like there is actual hope for the future, that they are not doomed to a life of struggle no matter how hard they work. And a lot of people feel that way. I have heard it and heard it and heard it, not just from Maine, but from a lot of other states. You know where I don't hear it from? I don't hear it from New Hampshire. I was thinking about it on our flight back. I don't recall getting an email from someone in New Hampshire or getting a text message from someone in New Hampshire. We have a lot of listeners in New Hampshire telling me that they feel like that they are doomed to struggle. Janet Mills has been so desperate to replicate California and the state of Maine that she never even considered the prosperity that's been created under the leadership of Chris Sununu. Chris Sununu has literally liberated his people from an economic standpoint. New Hampshire's public policies have allowed the lowest percentage of people in the country to be in poverty because there is so much opportunity in that state, so much economic optimism and hopefulness. And let's face it, their lower tax burden is a big part of that. But it's also, Sununu has been here many, many times, and I'm going to try to get him in one more time before he steps down as governor. He chose, as you know, not to run for re-election. His big way to solve problems was to get a group of people together, smart people, you know, people that weren't just having their hand out, but people that actually wanted to solve problems. They weren't looking for something necessarily. And the approach that they took whenever they were trying to solve a problem is, how does it make the state stronger? How does it make the people more prosperous and more free? I will guarantee you, you don't hear that kind of conversation in Augusta, Maine, not at the state capitol. I've talked about it before, but I'll bring it up again. The late, great John Jenkins, the former mayor of Lewiston and Auburn, and also a former state senator and just an all-around magnificent human being, sat in the studio I don't know how many times, and he said that when he was in Augusta, he never heard them talk about how big we could be. It was always about how small we could be. What was the minimum we could do? He never heard them talk about in Augusta in his time in the state legislature about how could we raise an economy where people could be as prosperous as they chose to be. You know, you've heard me talk about it a lot over the last two decades, that you don't have true freedom if you don't have economic freedom. Because if you don't have the economic freedom to reasonably do as you choose, you don't really have freedom because you're not living the life that you want to live. Now, I'm not talking about going out and buying yachts and that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, true economic freedom comes in many ways. But just being able to take your family out for dinner, if that's what you choose to do, without having to worry if that means you can't pay the electricity bill this month, that's not economic freedom. And in the most prosperous country in the history of the world, and the strongest, greatest country in the history of the world, people that get up every single day and go to work ought to be able to live in economic freedom. We're going to really uber focus on the Maine legislature this session. Janet Mills has been talking about we have to be fiscally responsible, we have to be restrained in the new budget that's about to be crafted. And she's doing that for a reason, and that reason is that she's thinking about legacy. She has been such a, I will use the word magnificent, a magnificent spender of the people's money. No one has ever spent like Janet Mills, the governor of the state of Maine, has spent. It's outrageous, really. And the government is taking a disproportionate amount of money out of the economy, which means that business is fighting with the state government for capital resources that allow them to innovate and expand and hire and all the good things that happen when businesses have access to capital. Janet Mills is single-handedly as the governor of the state, and I've said this many times, and I actually say this with a great deal of respect. She has wielded gubernatorial power in a manner unprecedented in Maine history. If she wants it to happen in Augusta, it does. And if she says it will not happen, regardless of political party, it will not happen. As you may recall, at the close of the last session, the Democrats wanted to ram a whole bunch of bills through to her office, and she literally refused to open the door to them. She would not allow it. So I say that with a great deal of respect. She actually understood the power of the position she holds, and she's used it. I believe not for the betterment of our people, but that's regardless of the point. She has wielded power in a manner no Maine governor has ever, ever done. I just wish she had used it for the prosperity of our people and not the enrichment of the government. But a new governor has an opportunity here. a new governor has an opportunity to come in here and talk about a new way of doing things, a shift of the paradigm, if you will, from a government-centric Maine. And that's what we have now. We have a state that is literally beholden to the state government. Our people are beholden to the state government. Businesses in the state of Maine shudder when the legislature is in session for fear that they will impose another new rule, another new regulation, or another new tax that will make it even more difficult for them to prosper. And unfortunately, that fear has allowed them not to stand in unison and defeat some of these ideas. They don't understand the power they possess by standing in unison. And they've got a good example. I don't know why they won't follow it. The unions do stand in unison. The unions in this state wield power like few others because they stand in unison. The business community of this state could stand together and speak with one voice, and a lot of this stuff would stop. But they were afraid to do it. And then they continue to write checks to people who perpetrate the policies that are harmful to Maine's economy. Because, again, they're afraid if they don't do it, they'll either be left out or they'll be sought out. And both of those conclusions are bad. Other places in the country, government knows its place. Now, not every place in the country is that way, but other places in the country, government knows its place because the people and the business community put the government in its place where it rightfully belongs, as a servant of the people and businesses of the state, not their lord, not their lady, not their master. Again, the power that Janet Mills has wielded as governor has turned her into the lord and master of the state of Maine. It's an inappropriate role of a governor and a government in a free society. I won't say it's Stalin-esque, but it's certainly authoritative. And there is no matrix by which you can measure, using state government statistics, to demonstrate that Maine is stronger, that our people are more prosperous, that our education system is better, that our infrastructure has been reformed. None of those measures have been proved under the leadership of Janet Mills. So government has gotten stronger, but our state has gotten weaker, and our people are less free. And those numbers are astounding when you look at them, and I do all the time. It is hard for me to understand how we allowed the same people who have caused these problems to be rewarded with an election win. But as I mentioned earlier this morning, it is starting to become more clear. Fear is real, and fear-mongering by those who seek power for the sake of power is unprecedented right now in Maine history.
MTech means jobs. MEMA stands for Maine Energy Marketers, and MEMA's technical education school, MTech, stands for jobs. Just listen to John, a recent MTech graduate, and what he has to say.